You're listening to the High Fidelity Podcast, episode 31, spoilerific Prometheus. The High Fidelity Podcast is intended for a mature audience. I have to assume that by now, if you've figured out how to download this sumbitch, play it, and can appreciate the words that I'm saying now, you're old enough to know that when a motherfucker says motherfucker, the show may not be for youngins. That's all I gotta say, right? You get it.
Even that's not what you said in the last podcast. It's like, ooh, hey, kind of smart a little bit. It's like, yeah, well, it did go on for 6 minutes.
And welcome to the High Fidelity Podcast.
No. No. No.
That's a little cruel.
I'm just going to say this right now. I've let that fly once or twice, but I'm not going to fly right now. No.
This is Patrick.
This is Michael.
This is Brian.
And this is Steve.
Steve's a little confused because he's not quite sure how we're going to do this, but yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. No. Now, that's enough to start it off with something interesting, but with no real detail behind it. Yay, Prometheus. Go.
So what we're planning to do is talk about Prometheus, but the situation is I haven't seen the film.
Someone
so these guys have some, well, you know,
some
it's a little more difficult to get out and see them here. Just saying. A
little bit. Hey,
but,
wait.
We're going to go ahead and I'm going to take one for the team, and they're going to be plenty spoilerific with the show. Oh, yeah. And so if you haven't seen the show like me, you can either opt to stay here and hear what we have to say about it, and you may come out a little better prepared to see the film. Or you might have to wait until after you've seen the movie to listen to this episode. Either way, that's what we're fixing to do.
I will say that, honestly, except for Steve. Steve doesn't get a choice. I would say your best option is to, you know, see the movie and then listen to the podcast.
I would recommend that as well.
Sorry, Steve.
I guess fuck Steve then.
Well, we're talking the Alien franchise. It is kind of all about, you know, involuntary fucking.
So. Well, yeah. let's just be honest. No. It's about mouth rape. That's what. Well, that's his mouth rape. His mouth rape, chest
space
rape,
space mouth rape.
Yeah. No, it's all. Yeah, it's all about.
They could have renamed the Alien franchise Space Rape.
Somehow, I don't think you're going to get that on a lot of posters.
Ridley Scott is a little subtler than that.
Not by much.
Speaking of not being subtle, so who wants to do the job of, because I don't know if it should be Brian.
Oh.
Giving a backstory for the movie to Steve.
Oh, okay, so Steve, you know, well, fuck it. We'll reset for all the listeners.
Yeah, let's just assume Steve hasn't. Knows nothing.
We'll assume
knows
Steve
nothing.
Knows. Is that what we normally do?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Here's what I know about here's what I know.
Okay.
I know that this is Ridley Scott returning to sci-fi, which is freaking awesome.
Woo! Yeah.
And that's great. We know that this is the Alien universe, but not another Alien story necessarily, different characters, things like that. But that's really about it, other than the ship, the Prometheus.
Okay, so the setup for this is for the movie is that basically some archaeologists, they're on Earth
Mm-hmm. They're digging through, you know, cave paintings and everything, and they find
a Stargate.
It's called the Chapa Eye. No, anyway, they find all these cave paintings from very, very distant, separated tribes, civilizations. Sure, why not? And the cave painting is always the same. It's a very tall individual pointing at, you know, five dots on up in the sky. And so they deduce from that that obviously this is, you know, some sort of extraterrestrial individual, because what the hell? The individual civilizations were far enough apart that they couldn't have talked to each other, and yet they have the exact same thing. So obviously this is something that the
and you would need an advanced telescope to see the constellation that they're pointing out.
Exactly. It's not something we see in our sky. We had to actually get you know, fairly advanced. And so these people say, hey, we want to go out and find these people. And the guy that funds it is the CEO of Weyland Industries.
Was it Peter Weyland?
Peter Weyland. Yes. As opposed to the – who was the Weyland in AVP?
I think it was Charles Weyland.
Charles Weyland, yes.
Is now, it Charles?
Yeah. Now, Peter Weyland, played by Guy Pearce, who, for me, that was a very cool actor to be playing in the Aliens movie because I love Guy Pearce. So, the actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, so basically, Prometheus is the story of them going to find these aliens, and they believe that the aliens, you know, seeded mankind, and so that they are actually our creators, and so that's what Prometheus is about. It's a bunch of people on a ship that are going off into space, hoping to run into the creators of mankind.
Right.
And yes. So far, nothing is spoilerific, because cool. That's, you know, you get that out of the trailer.
Yeah, that's
so,
pretty much stuff well, that you would get from the trailer.
Oh, out of the American trailer, anyway. Or out of the international
trailer.
The American trailer is just, you know, just flashes of black in between frames.
And explosions.
And explosions.
Whole bunch of explosions.
And somebody that's half naked. But whatever, it's not important. So, I guess what we're here to discuss is all of us here on the American side went and saw it at the theater, and you know,
we have three varying different degrees of what we saw.
Yeah, basically,
we cannot agree on what we saw.
So Ridley Scott,
which is to be expected, I suppose.
Right. Well, I mean, and Ridley Scott is kind of known for making movies that are a little on the ambiguous side. I mean, take a Blade Runner, which is my favorite movie, but is kind of an ambiguous movie. Yet.
Right. So since Ridley Scott doesn't lay it out and say, well, this is what this is, and this is what this is, and this is what that is, and this is why he did this,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of room for interpretation.
A lot of room.
There's a lot of room. And so Brian happens to have a specific belief of what the movie is about. And it's deep and it's philosophical, and I have a very shallow belief of what the movie's about. And I think, for full disclosure, Michael and Brian liked it. Several of the other people that we saw liked it. I wouldn't say I necessarily disliked it, but I couldn't get into it because of basically the what happens in the movie. And since we already said this is going to be spoilerific, I will say this. Every single person in this movie, which is basically the only people on the ship, they all make just a stupid
mistake. They're fucking morons is what they are.
They all do something just completely stupid. And as they keep doing these stupid things and it leads to trouble and heartbreak for them, I can't get into this movie. At one point, somebody is being attacked, you know, something horrific is happening, and I assume that you're supposed to be feeling empathy and sorrow for them because, you know, they're being brutalized, and I'm laughing my fucking ass off because I'm like, hey, dumbass, how about this? How about you don't, when you see, like, some strange alien creature, you don't put your fucking finger out and say, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, aren't you a cute little alien? What the fuck, man?
I will say that is one thing that, real quick, that is one thing that the three of us do agree on.
Yeah.
That all the characters in the movie,
I think we disagree on the significance of them acting like idiots.
But at some point in the movie, everyone in the movie is basically a moron.
Agreed.
Completely.
So, yeah.
So are they doing this to add tension?
No, I don't know why they do it.
I have an answer for that.
The light at the top of the stairs is on, and you say, don't go up there, that kind of thing?
I don't know. Well, I don't know why they do that, but no, there are things in the movie where you're like, wow, this is a biologist on a planet looking at an alien life form for the first time, and his response is to walk up and try to touch it. I don't believe any biologist alive would ever actually do that. So, no, I don't know. They're being stupid in a way that I don't believe they would actually be.
Well,
and that's our issue.
So, well, okay, so we have we have Brian has an explanation. I have an explanation. I believe that my explanation will be simpler. And so I will give my explanation for why they're doing this, and then we can let Brian go into that.
My explanation is real simple. That was just bad writing. I don't believe characters. Those characters would have done that.
Okay, steal my fucking thunder, asshole.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, basically, I think that was in order to progress. Like Michael said this to me once. I'm pretty sure it was you. If people didn't make bad choices, there would never be any movies.
That's true. Right? I was the one that said that.
So that's the same thing. In order for them to progress this movie to where they needed to be, people have to make stupid choices. Because if everybody did the intelligent thing, they would never find themselves in the situation that they find themselves in. And the movie would, you know, take 6 months to tell this story. Yeah, and I think it's that.
Patrick, that's a little bit of a cop out. I mean,
scenario.
Define a little bit of the cop out. And why are you so small? Put your fucking face on the screen.
Because sometimes you can make the intelligent decision and still lose.
I will grant you this. There are movies that I've seen where that's not necessarily the case, where I don't believe in every movie, if people didn't make the stupid decision, the movie would have progressed. But I will say in 90% of movies that I've seen, I will say in most of the movies that I like truly love, they're not making the stupid choices. But in a lot of movies, that's what's happening.
Well, hang on. Let Brian
speak up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, all the characters in this movie make incredibly stupid decisions. They're one of the running themes in most of their stupidity, however, is that of overconfidence is what gets them into most of their problems is overconfidence. In the context of within the universe of the movie, the entire expedition is put together by a guy who is completely nuts. And he to get everyone to sign up to the expedition, he says, "We're going to go off in space for 4 years, and I'm going to pay you a huge pile of cash. No, I'm not telling you where we're going. I'm not telling you why we're going there, but I need." And then he puts this advertisement out on Craigslist to get biologists and all of this to sign up. And only three people on the expedition actually know what the hell is going on.
Okay, so, what? No, I just. They don't.
Well, wait a minute.
There's
now.
No scene of a Craigslist ad with Peter Whalen typing out.
We can infer
shit ton of money.
This is Ridley. They explicitly said, "I'm here for the money," is one of the guys says. We see them get. They don't get briefed on what the mission is till they get there. So if you're a really hotshot professional adventurer, explorer type, Indiana Jones type, and they say, "Oh, well, here's a pile of money, and we're taking away 4 years of your life, and no, we're not telling you where we're going or why we're going there." I bet an Indiana Jones is going to say, I can go have adventures where I know what I'm getting into, and I'm a hotshot. I got money. I'm one of the best in my fields. I don't need this. I can write my ticket.
So wait.
So the only people who would sign up for this expedition are the people who just see the money and are confident that they can handle whatever it is, even though they are completely complete lack of professionalism. So you end up with a bunch of hoodlums on board your spaceship because of the way he hired them.
I will say this. When you said
I don't know about that.
I will say this. When you said posted on Craigslist, the first thing that went through my head was, do you guys ever watch Doogie Howser? I flashed on the end of every Doogie Howser episode, but instead of Doogie Howser, they had old Peter Whalen typing on his computer, putting in a Craigslist ad with the whole Doogie Howser music playing. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Random thought.
In the first movie, in Alien, it was a bunch of miners and freighter jocks. And, of course, they're amateurs. They don't know what they're doing. And part of the fun comes from the fact that we get to see these people who are in way over their heads, fumbling around in a, doing stuff that they never were trained to handle. And I think he probably wanted to recreate that feel with this by having a complete nutter put the expedition together so that, again, we have these people who are completely incompetent or at least not competent in this in the fields that they're put through. Again, the big theme of the movie is ego and hubris and overconfidence again and again. So the fact that that's what keeps getting them killed, I think, is actually pretty appropriate. Now, I wouldn't have made them that incompetent. I think he went too far. I think they end up becoming a bit laughable, like Patrick says. I can see what he was trying to do, but I do think that he fumbled the ball, and he could have scored a lot more points with it if he'd been a little more in control.
See, I think right there you just stumbled across.
I'm wondering if you guys are coming from the place of, yes, I did like this movie, or no, I didn't really like it.
Well, that's the thing. Me and Brian both like it, but I think we like it for separate reasons. And Patrick, I think, doesn't hate it, but it's not his favorite movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I can't really, like I said before, I can't get into it. As I'm watching it, I can't like get sucked into the story because I'm just sitting there cataloging stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Your point, they're obviously they're nutty because they went on this expedition. They lost 4 years of their lives. One, it's not like they're 4 years older. They're in cryo sleep. So,
well, yeah, but their whole life has moved on from 4 years from where it was. So getting people with no social connections whatsoever.
No, not necessarily.
People
no.
are willing to that, sacrifice that only, that, them for
I was
going to
say, yeah.
No, that probably only means that they probably aren't married, right? That the one couple is there, yeah. But everybody else is probably single. Here's the other thing. You're like, oh, well, these people are like, oh, I can do enough on my own. They state explicitly in the movie that the expedition costs $1 trillion, right?
Yes.
You are going to tell me that if somebody showed up and said, hey, Brian, I will pay you $100 million to just don't worry.
Oh, we're
going to go for 4 years.
The engines and the spaceships.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's $1 trillion, Brian.
Yeah.
You can have like $999 billion in the ship and still have $1 billion to pay nine people.
Well, we don't know what the inflation has done, but it's not that.
True enough. So if somebody showed up
far into the future.
Yeah. So at least we're talking in hundreds of billions.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's what 2090 something.
Yeah,
like
it's 2090.
So if somebody comes up to you and offers you like $100 million, they say, "Well, we're not going to tell you what we're doing." Which, incidentally,
it's
2089. Okay, that is a recurring theme on a lot of movies where people don't even get paid; they get conscripted,
mm-hmm.
and they just come and they say, "Hey, we need you to do this thing. What are we doing? We'll tell you when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust me; you'll be compensated." People do it for a lot less than the money that Peter Whalen was throwing mm-hmm. around. So that does not. So your whole thing is like, well, obviously they get all of the D students out of the high school.
Do a lot of things for a lot less.
Yes.
Have you ever seen
the whole industry of people willing to do whatever it is you need done?
Those people struck me as the sort of people I'd expect to see.
But here's the thing: if I need a fucking interior decorator in space, I can get fucking Ty Pennington. I bet you I can get Ty Pennington to fly his ass to the fucking moon if I paid him $200 million. And that guy, so say that, you know, he's top of his field. It's not like he's going to say, well, you know, I'm cool on my $96,000 a year. I don't want your $200 million because you're not going to tell me where we're going to go. No.
Yeah, you're sending my ass off into space.
He knows where the guy is.
All right. In a rocket ship.
It's like if Bill Gates showed up and said, hey, I need your help. You're like, oh. You need to tell me what we're doing, or fuck you, Bill Gates. No.
Right.
So even then, I can't get behind that. We'll move on.
I'll just say this. Yes, that is a big point of the movie. We clearly disagree on why the characters are idiots. But yeah, I think we can all agree that at some point in the movie, every character in the movie is basically an idiot.
I would agree with that.
Now, the one thing about the film
and
that
there,
I
and
do
there,
think
there's
you
different
and I,
degrees of idiocy, right? Because
no,
some of this is Captain Hindsight, right?
No. Trust me. All right.
Do you want examples?
I was going to say, since we're being spoilerific, there's one guy whose whole job it is to map out, like, the cavernous area that they're going through, the caves, they're going underground to look at this area. Now, it's his job. He's mapping it out. He's the one that's showing them around. And at some point, they find something that he doesn't want to deal with. So he decides, I'm going back to the ship. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. Somehow, even though he was the one showing everyone around, he gets lost on the way back. That's what I mean by idiotic and doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that the guy that was mapping the area and was showing everyone else around suddenly can't find his way back out.
If that had been the only such incident, you know, okay, bad, you know, every now and then somebody who's a professional drops the ball. It happens. But we see over and over throughout the film professionals dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Now, I would say we bring this to the end of the movie where we have Elizabeth Shaw having to say, huh, are we going to go back in to the spaceship and confront the engineers, which are the god alien things? Are we going to go back in or not? And she says, you know, I'm probably going to get killed if I do this, but I'd rather die knowing than live and not know. And so she, at the end of the movie, becomes aware of her own limitations, her own stupidity, her own incompetence, and accepts the consequences of it and chooses knowledge and death over the...
Oh no! Keep going.
Yeah, over life and smartness and safety or survival of your keeping your ass intact.
Well, and that's that's definitely one thing that I do want to say, because I definitely don't want the whole podcast to be about how the characters are idiots.
Yeah.
But I will say yes, that's a good segue to what I was about to say, which is that is the thing that I think you and I agree on, is that I think the big theme of the movie is not about ego, hubris, and I think the big theme of the movie is, you know, mankind wanting to know their origins, wanting to know more, and being disappointed at either the answer or the lack of an answer. That is what I think is the big theme of the movie. I think basically that movie is about, we went into space to get answers, and the people with the answer didn't necessarily feel inclined to give it to you. I think that's what the big theme of the movie about. And that's why I was okay with her thing at the end where she was like, no, I still don't have answers. And those fuckers out there have it. So I'm going to go and find them. I was okay with that because to me, that's still what was going on in the film.
I thought that choice was a pivotal choice in that it shows we were finally getting away from the incompetence, at least with this one particular character, or at least accepting it and for what it is, as opposed to being in denial.
See, you keep trying to make the incompetence a part of the movie, whereas I think the incompetence was just bad writing. I really think the incompetence was just bad writing. Like, I liked the movie, but
well,
I do think that aspect of the movie,
bad writing and intentionally part of the flow of the movie, it can be both.
I don't think bad. I don't think anyone ever goes into a movie to intentionally badly write it.
Well, you can have, you can try to write.
No,
an action,
but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen either.
But
I don't think you would. I don't think you would. Well, the thing, when you say, well, you can intentionally make the bad writing. No, if you're intentionally making it, then that's not bad writing. No, what I'm saying is this is not intentional. This is bad writing.
Yes. Well, my hunch is that he wanted them to be a bit incompetent. Now, that I admittedly, I'm not as
well, that doesn't make any sense.
Point. It's
exactly. That's the point that I'm coming from.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
That's
make
why
any
we
sense
disagree on that
for
one.
The people to be incompetent and be where they are.
See, I don't know.
So if they are
Scott
incompetent
by accident,
and he likes incompetent heroes. Decker is not actually all that good of a Blade Runner. Thelma and Louise barely know how to use a gun. The crew in the of the
but
the,
there's
the
a
promo there, are a joke.
Hang on, there's a perfectly good reason why Thelma and Louise don't know how to use a gun, because they aren't marshals or sheriffs or rangers. They're two women that find themselves in a shitty situation.
That he actually tends to write his characters a bit incompetent.
Right?
No. But here's the thing: in the examples that you gave, and I guess this episode is going to be about. the examples that you gave, yeah, there's an explanation for why Thelma and Louise act the way they do. There's an explanation for why the crew of the Nostromo act the way they do. There's an explanation for why Deckard is not a very good Blade Runner. It's because he's a replicant. Yeah. Or that is the explanation that's implied in the movie. But here, in Prometheus, There's not an explanation. Yeah. No, these people.
I thought there was a. As much as Decker is a replicant, which is definitely something you have to infer.
It's definitely something you have to infer about
Prometheus. But I do think they took it too far. They are too incompetent.
That's the thing.
We are moving into Greedo shoots first territory, and it's kind of a joke and humiliating.
I might be able to agree with you if they were just a little incompetent. No, these people are very incompetent.
Now, you said the theme of the movie, you thought it was a man looking for their creators.
Yes. The theme that I think it is man looking for answers and then either not liking the answers that they get or just not getting answers at all. Because my thing is, a lot of people are like, well, there's plot holes in this movie. There are things that are brought up that are never answered. And I'm like, I don't think that's a plot hole.
Yeah.
I think things are purposely brought up and purposely not answered.
Yes. So what I thought the underlying theme was an analysis of creation through death versus survival at all costs. And it seemed like you have Peter Weyland determined to survive at all costs. When he finally gets a chance to talk to his God, the first question he asks him is, can you make me live longer? And the first thing the alien does when he hears that line is go ballistic. And the aliens, the movie starts with an alien an engineer sacrificing himself to create life on Earth. And we have several other scenes where the right thing to do is to sacrifice oneself. The wrong thing to do is survival at all costs. We have the infected guy. They have to put him down with the flamethrower. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, the flamethrower was a stupid way to do it. But the idea was there. This reoccurring idea of survival at all costs leads to problems, leads to unhealthiness. And that through death allows new life to come. You get the moral of the movie at the end from the daughter who may or may not be an android saying king has its reign and then has his reign and then his reign ends or something to that effect. That is the lesson of the movie, and that is the lesson that the engineers have accepted and have made part of themselves, and that is why they are so horrified at humanity when they come, because humanity is basically demanding eternal life from them, and that's kind of a huge blasphemous taboo from the way they live their lives.
See,
and there's numerous other examples, but I'll let other people talk.
I'll just say this. Whoa. This is why, like, I feel like you and I are kind of like, all right, I'll let Steve say something. Steve, go ahead.
Well, you're the I've heard you both speak on this now, and I got to say, Brian, you're just making a lot more sense. I haven't seen it, but I can follow that as a logical plot line a lot better based on what I've heard.
A lot better than what?
I can't wait till you see the
than
movie.
Than what Michael was saying.
I haven't actually had a chance to fully present the counterpoint to that one. What I was going to say was, for me, what I thought was going on, by the way, I saw Patrick laugh at the whole whether or not the daughter is an android. Actually, I will say I do think that was an intentional question that was not answered in the movie. I do think you're supposed to question whether or not.
Why does it matter?
It doesn't really matter to the plot, but it is one of those things that they purposely don't answer in the
movie.
Also,
it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
because it doesn't make any sense, because if that means then that there are that there have been androids that have been impersonating people for, you know, centuries in this universe. Which,
well, I thought
there
was just these two.
Centuries?
I thought it was just these two, and I actually thought they were just the first two.
Yeah. Well, right, but if they're the first two, and yet you have, going forward, you've got, you know, the various different models of androids and blah, 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 blah. The thing that I don't buy it is because she says, do you think I'm going to stay on Earth bickering over who gets to control the company? Mm. Well, if she's a droid, she probably doesn't have any legal rights to control the company. But that's an inference. Right. I'll present that.
No.
But
I thought she was the lore model as opposed to the data model.
I'll just say this. This whole movie is about inferences. I will definitely say he purposely introduces a lot and doesn't answer a whole lot. So I don't think it's a bad thing to say that's an inference.
Right.
These are all inferences.
Right. So here's the thing, and this is the difference between Brian and I. I'm not. That's how I reconcile it in my head. I'm not really married to it. So I'm not going to, you know, like Brian's like on the, he's like, God, it's Sermon on the Mount. You're like prophesying this is what the movie's about. And it's only about this. And
I look at this movie and it has wonderful bones and the flesh that is wrapped around it is kind of marginal to lame. But everyone is looking at that external thing and ignoring the greatness. That's
but what I'm saying is I think that you created those bones to, like, you saw the movie, you liked the movie, you created the bones in your head to make it work. There's nothing wrong with that. I do it all the time. That's how I enjoy most of the movies that I enjoy that people say are crap. I'm like, no. I've built this whole story in my head that allows this movie to work.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly fine. But that doesn't mean that that's what the writers intended or what the creators intended.
Well, if it was somebody other than Ridley Scott, I would tend to agree with you. But Ridley Scott has a history of putting together really good skeletons.
I'll say that.
I don't think it's too much of a jump to say that there might be a good skeleton in there.
All right, I will say this. This is where I was coming from, and this is why I'm like, I agree with you that there is a good skeleton there, and everybody tends to be focusing on the bad, you know, muscle tissue that's around it. I will agree with you on that one. We completely disagree on what that skeleton is, though.
Okay, yeah.
Because my thing is, what I think that movie was about was, it was about mankind. It's like an old Greek story, you know.
Prometheus?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it was basically mankind went out to go meet its gods. And I know. But, I mean, that's obviously what they're going for. The name of the movie is fucking Prometheus. No, man went out to go talk to its creators. And David even makes comments about this. He was like, can you imagine how disappointing it would be if you asked your creator why I was put on this earth? And the only response you would get back is, because I could. And I'm like, honestly, I think that line is the point of the movie. Hold on. I think that line is the point of the movie. I think basically what it was there's a whole lot of the story that you're not getting because it's the engineer's point of view. And you're never going to get the engineer's point of view because they're not one of the main characters in the movie. Basically, you get our point of view. We went out there to ask them a question. Basically, we went out to go ask our gods a question. And our creator was horrified. We don't really know why. Our creator was horrified, basically decided to kill us. And there's all this stuff that's going on. There's this area that has all these weapons of mass destruction. Obviously, weapons of mass destruction.
What do? They kill, and everything they do, everything they kill, they create a new life form. Again, life from death. That's how the weapons work.
I got you. This is my turn, Brian. I'm just saying. Wow. For me, I think the basic point of the film was we went to go ask questions. We didn't know what their point of view was, so we don't know what's coming from, where they're coming from. So there's just a lot of questions that we didn't get answered. And at the end of the movie, that's why I love the line, I still don't know what's going on, and I demand an answer, so I'm going to keep going. Yeah. So even if there's never another movie, I'm okay with that because to me, that closes out the movie. She still wants the answer she came to get.
Yes. Okay. Here's,
man, it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere close to any kind of consensus on this. It's like you're completely different people or something.
I would agree that with Michael, I think Michael's themes are in there too. Those were not the themes that resonated with me strongly, and those were not the themes that seemed dominant to me, but those themes are in there. I think Ridley Scott can put more than one idea in a movie.
Hey, Michael,
I think we can all agree on this point here.
I think I'm going to have to agree with Brian on at least part of this, in that when you say, wouldn't you be disappointed if they said they created you because they could? Mm. From what we've seen of the engineers, what we've seen of just the first opening sequence where they seed mankind, which incidentally I didn't realize that's what it was because that's not how that would happen, which people made fun of me for.
Yeah, we
damn me and my science knowledge.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode on the bad science.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously there's more significance to it than just, I wonder what happens if I put this in the beaker. Oh, hey, people! It's obviously more than that.
Well, I will say this: I'm not saying that was necessarily the answer. He was basically saying, "Wouldn't you be disappointed?" Of course we would. Basically, what I'm saying is they went out into space and they didn't get the answer. They didn't get the answer that they wanted. They basically got no answer at all. I'm not saying that the answer was they just did it because they could. I'm saying they went out into space to get answers, and they clearly did not get the answer that they wanted.
And I get that. And since it seems like. This probably is just going to end up being here. I just want to point out one other thing. If there's ever an android that acts like David, you shoot it in the face, and then you shoot it in the chest, and then you shoot it everywhere else until there's nothing left. There is nothing about that android that says, ooh,
I can trust
trustworthy. No, nothing. You'll see it. When you watch it, you'll come back and you report to us, Steve. You kill that fucking thing. You would kill it. You'd kill it dead. It's like Poltergeist. If you saw the fucking chairs get stacked up in the house, you run the fuck out of the house. You burn that motherfucker down.
I was impressed with him. I didn't at no point in the movie watching the android did I think, oh, it's Carl Jung. No, not at all. So
I would definitely say while watching the movie, the android. While I was like, wow, this may be the coolest character in the movie, did I ever think to myself, yeah, if I was on that ship, I would shoot that thing in the face pretty much immediately. The second that it started quoting Lords of Arabia, I'd be like, I don't like you. There's something about you I don't like. You got to die.
I will say the Lawrence of the Arabia quote really goes well with your theme.
Right.
That's a nice piece of support.
Well, I hope all of our listeners will be kind enough to share their opinions on the movie.
And either whether or not
Facebook,
the daughter is an android.
You know, bring it. Let us know what you thought of the movie, what you think of our very differing takes on the structure of this movie and the themes. And you can do that either by sending us an email. Our email address is feedback@scifishow.net. You can send a tweet if you have a blog post or something like that you want to share with us. Or you can share it with the whole community at large by posting on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/scifishow, and our website is scifishow.net. We're on Google Plus at gplus.to/scifishow. So we thank you for listening and subscribing and sharing the podcast with your loved ones and other nerdlings.
Other nerdlings. I like that.
please don't share this show with your nerdlings. I would feel bad about that.
Yeah, because a nerdling kind of implies under 18.
Yeah. A ling means that it's a small child. And we have or advisories for that.
Or Asian. Was that wrong?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did Michael just say something? I just. It's like I lost
I
a second of my life there.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't hear anything. That. So until next time.
Yeah,
I'm
until
Steve.
Next time.
This is Michael.
This is Patrick.
This is Brian. Bring in the fire.
He always inhales.
Okay, here we go.
Touch up shit now.
Peace out.
Peace out, bitches.